This is After the Gridiron, a podcast featuring interviews with retired football players. If you're a fan of After the Gridiron, make sure you subscribe to the show to ensure that you won't miss an episode. Today's episode is sponsored by Symphonies. Symphonies is an online store that provides custom clothing and accessories. They have a number of quality products available at affordable prices. They offer custom, unique, funny, and inspirational products that you won't find anywhere else. So go to www.symphonies.ca to shop for your next purchase. And as a special offer for our listeners, enter promo code GRIDIRON to get 15% off your purchase. So there's no excuse not to check it out. Again, that's www.symphonies.ca. Symphonies. Great products, great prices.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of After the Gridiron. I am your host, Lyle Green, and we have another great guest lineup for you today. Today we have former CFL quarterback Marcus Crandall. So Marcus played 11 years of professional football. He played with the Edmonton Eskimos, Calgary Stampeders, and Saskatchewan Roughriders here in the CFL. He also spent time in NFL Europe and also the XFL. He is a product of East Carolina University. He's first team all-conference as a junior at East Carolina, and also once in the CFL, he was the MVP of the 2001 Grey Cup with the Calgary Stampeders, and also won a Grey Cup with the Saskatchewan Roughriders in 2007. So he's got two Grey Cup rings to his title. And now, after football, he got into coaching for a little bit, and now he's doing insurance, selling insurance, and also does some private training for quarterbacks as well. So if you're looking to improve your quarterback play, you can give him a call and find him, and he'll definitely help you out with that. So, Marcus, thank you very much, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate your time. So I usually start off by asking my guests to say something about them that most people don't know about them. So what would that be for you? What's something about you that most people don't know about you?
Oh, man. Over the past few years, I guess I just go over the past few years. It's, I just really become a reader of the Word, dove into the Bible a little bit more deeply. Okay. In the last little bit, always been a believer, but never dove into it like I have in the last 5 years. I'm a man of high faith and a believer in God for sure.
Nice, nice. That's good. You can't go wrong reading the Word for sure. All right, so let's go back to the beginning and talk about when football started for you. Were you a late bloomer, or did you start playing as a young kid?
Well, I actually started off playing baseball first. It was my first organized sport that I played in a small town that I grew up in, Robertsonville. And then from there, I would always play with the kids around, neighbors and friends and family. Around the neighborhood, just pick up football, just find anywhere to kind of throw the ball around and play is what we used to do. And then got organized in junior high school. That's when I started playing organized football. But I got into it because of a baseball coach, actually.
Really?
I was a pitcher, and he asked me to come out to Trout for football and be the quarterback. They were needing a quarterback, so and the rest is academic, man.
It's history, yeah. Okay. So was baseball your first love, your first sport that you want to move on to, or is it?
It was the first organized sport because I actually love and the other thing I guess that people don't know is I actually love basketball probably more than I did with baseball and football.
Oh, okay.
But again, same with that. I didn't start playing organized basketball until I was in junior high school, and just got more recognition and more opportunity playing football as I got better in high school and all of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about high school. You obviously did pretty well in football, and end up choosing football.
Yes, I was a two-way player at a small 1A high school. Not a lot of players there or students in the high school, and so we're 1A.
Okay.
1A,
that's the lowest level?
That's the lowest level. Yeah.
Okay.
But I was able to, again, I was able to get some people to come out and take notice, found out that I was a fairly decent player, along with the help of my teammates and coaches. And then started to getting recruited by different universities, letters from all over the country, but I got recruited hard by, the schools in and around North Carolina, University of North Carolina, NC State, and then South Carolina as well, and East Carolina, of course, where I end up going. And part of the reason why I went there is because of, coming out of high school and playing two ways. I played free safety. I wanted to be a quarterback, and East Carolina was the only university that was offering me the opportunity to play quarterback. So,
okay.
And it was close to my family, which is only 20 miles from my hometown.
Okay, so yeah, so you made, I guess they made it easy for you, being the only school that would let you play quarterback. So you decided to go with them. So talk about your time at East Carolina and how things went for you there. Obviously, you had a good career there and played well. Did they let you play other sports? Did you want to play other sports like baseball?
I actually did, but I didn't for some reason. Oddly enough, I just wanted to focus on football. That was my choice. I didn't even entertain any other sport. Even though I felt like I could play, I just didn't entertain it. I went there as a quarterback, and the thing about it is that I was going into a system. They had previously won the Peach Bowl in 92. And so it was a 91 thing, but they played the Peach Bowl in 92. I was going into a system that threw the ball a lot, and it was very, complicated at the time as far as throwing a football and running the system. And so when I got there, kind of from an option from an option high school team.
Option, yeah.
Steep
learning curve for you.
It was, man. And my high school coach actually, he tells people if he had learned anything about the passing game, I probably hadn't gone to ECU, but who knows. it was a huge learning curve for me. I was blessed with the opportunity to start my redshirt freshman year. Unfortunately, I fractured my fibula and dislocated my ankle. All those things that go along with that. My redshirt freshman year in the second game of the season.
Oh, man.
Ended up missing the entire season. Supposedly told by the doctor that it probably wouldn't play again, and so.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so it was a blessing to be able to have my coach come in and say that if I come back, I'd be named the starter again. Wasn't going to lose my job because of injury. So I worked really hard at getting back and getting onto the field, and really that was a blessing in disguise as well, because it gave me the opportunity to learn the system and all those kind of things that we were doing. And then I had a successful 2 years, and then unfortunately my senior year got hurt as well, hurt my knee my senior year. Just after, I think it was the game after we beat the Miami Hurricanes in Miami.
Yeah.
And
In Miami, that was a big
Miami
one then.
And missed the rest of the season there. And I was, after that, I was still blessed enough to get a combine invite from the NFL. My knee wasn't healthy, but I went and did what I could. I was on the Edmonton Eskimos neck list, and didn't take long after the NFL draft to make my decision to come up to Canada to play.
Okay, so talk about that process and coming up to Canada. Did you know much about the CFL at the time, and what was your expectations coming up to Canada?
Yeah, I had a running back that I played with at East Carolina, Junior Smith. He's the all time leading rusher at East Carolina still. He actually played up here for a Louisiana team that year.
Okay.
Previous years. So in, I think it might have been 96 was the last year he played there, or 95. When they had the team there in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And so I did watch, and I also used to watch Warren Moon. So I knew a little bit about the CFL, but because it came on every now and then, I knew Doug Flutie went up there after he played. I was well aware of the game itself. Didn't know all the rules and all those things, but I was aware that it was a possibility and an opportunity.
Okay, and then as far as the NFL, and was it, were you disappointed that you didn't get an opportunity there, and were you kind of looking to kind of play your way back to getting a chance to play in NFL afterwards?
I think it was at the time because it was only it wasn't a league that was, you know, like widely promoted as it is now in the States, CFL,
yeah.
That is. I think everyone's dreams back then was to play in the NFL. And so, except for, you know, when the money was involved, a little bit different, right? Because they used to pay more in the CFL than they did in the NFL, and then things changed.
Yeah.
But my dream was to play in the NFL, and being that I was wasn't blessed with a lot of height, 5'11", it was much tougher for guys my height to make it in the NFL. But I didn't use those things against anything. I just tried to persevere, do the best I could out there on the field. I had aspirations to play in the NFL. I have no regrets about the path that I took. And so, yeah, I'm very, very, very pleased with my career and things that I've gone to get there and what I've done. It's all been a great learning experience.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And so, yeah, talk about your the first few days in Edmonton and then the CFL and tell us if it was something that was there anything that was unexpected? Was it better than you thought or worse than you thought? What was your first impressions of the league once you got up here?
Well, my first impression was getting off the plane in the summertime.
Yeah.
At the end of May and coming up to snow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was snow on the ground in May, so that was...
Oh, man. Welcome to Canada.
Yeah, exactly, right. So the warm welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But it was... I was surprised at how... I was fortunate to have some good people to play with or be on a team with, Danny McManus's and Eric Blunt, who actually is from North Carolina as well, not far from where I live. People that I actually watched in college growing up play, and so it was good to see those guys at that level, and seeing and knowing what they had to get through to adapt to play the game and still play at a high level. So I was surprised at how, of course, when you hear about, you know, the parameters that, you know, like the field is 110 and 65 wide and all those kind of things, you don't really... it doesn't really hit home until you're on there and
yeah.
Thinking that, throwing that wide side out as a quarterback, right? And so, I knew right away I had to learn and watch and listen, all those kind of things to get used to the game.
Yeah, this is definitely a different game, different field, a different style with the motions and everything. So I'm sure it was a bit of a learning curve again for you to pick up the league. But you obviously were able to do that and were very successful. And moving on to Calgary, you were a Grey Cup MVP in 2001. So talk about that season and being able to play in the Grey Cup game and to win and to be the MVP of that game.
Yeah, it was that was a special season because of with every path to any championship, there are always there are obstacles with every team in any sport and actually in life, any successes that you have, there are going to be some bumps along the way. And so ours was for me personally. As we mentioned earlier, I still had aspirations to get into the NFL, so. I got there in Calgary after the XFL season, where I actually had an injury where I actually sprained or whatever I did to my plantar fascia, and ended up having the opportunity to go to Calgary. And so, so that year I actually didn't win the starting job at the beginning of training camp, and Ben Sankey won the job. He injured his thumb the first game, I think it was, against Winnipeg, I want to say.
Yeah.
So I ended up coming in just before the half, I think it was, just before the half. And then just, so that's one part of it. The other part was that, we were kind of, I'm not sure about record at midway through around Labor Day, but it was around 50%, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
With a team that just lost a lot of players that were veteran players, that is, to retirement. And so one that comes to mind was Darryl Hall, who's a great player.
Yeah.
And so, we lost a lot of players. So there was a lot of changing of the guard, so to speak. But we were, we were right there in the middle of things going into Labor Day. And then I got hurt Labor Day and ended up missing about 5 or 6 games or something like that. And I just remember coming back when I got healthy. I think we maybe won one of those games out of that time I was out. And coming back, we had to win pretty much all the games that we, or 4 out of 5 or something like that to get into the playoffs.
To make the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah. And so just having that pressure, and then we lost another. I think we lost Travis Moore during that time as well. But anyway, and then we went on, and last game of the season, played Winnipeg, and they had the 14-4, I want to say, record, and best in the league, and Kari Jones, Bill Steele, those guys, great receiving core, great defense, and then we ended up winning that game. And then, of course, the last game of the season for it all, we played them in the Grey Cup, and it was just another great feeling to just getting over the injuries, getting over coming from the U.S. and playing up here, and then getting the opportunity and getting hurt and being able to come back and win the Grey Cup. It was a great feeling, and then seeing your teammates celebrate afterwards is probably the best feeling.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely a lot of adversity that you have had to overcome that season. I believe you guys finished 8-10, I believe was your record.
Yes,
that
we did.
Year.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. And to come
that
back
was
from that.
2 years in a row that 8-10 teams that won the Grey Cup, I think you guys.
Yeah, exactly. At BC, the year before was 8-10, yeah. And then the next year, you guys followed up with the 8-10 year and then, getting hot at the right time. That's the thing with the CFL. If you get hot at the right time, you can
absolutely
make a run for it. And just as long as you get in the playoffs, you can do it. So you're able to, like you said, win that last game against Winnipeg, and that I guess gave you guys the confidence to know that you could beat anybody on any given game. So that that momentum carried on over, and you guys end up winning the cup.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was a great time, and it was you know, it's part of, you know, that teaches you two things, is that you never give up, no matter the circumstances. And, you know, I take it even more now in my walk. So I just never give up in life or anything. And if there's an opportunity to get in, and when you're in that position, from that point on, you try to encourage other guys or you know, in the CFL or on your team, that, you know, you gotta play those full 18 games, man, because you can start off and you can go 0-5, you know.
Yeah.
Or 0-6 or 0-7 or whatever, because I think BC won one year like that, right? They didn't win a game, or 1 out of 7 or something like that.
It was like 1-7, 1-5, yeah.
And ended up winning the cup. And so, but you got to have a group of special guys that understand and believe that you can overcome it and get it done and what it takes to do it.
Definitely. Yeah, having the right group of guys and having resilient players and guys that have that never give up attitude is definitely key for championship teams, and having guys that have that killer instinct and that never give up attitude, for sure makes a big difference. All right, so you won that one in 2001, and you were able to win another one in 07. Talk about being able to win one with the Green Riders. I know their fan base is a very very rabid and love their players and love their team. So talk about winning one for the Saskatchewan fans and how their reception to you guys after winning that one.
Yeah, it was just a different perspective. You know, we had coming into Saskatchewan, they had Roy Shivers and Danny Barrett had started to build something very special there. Players started to come to Saskatchewan because of those guys, and they wanted to play for them. I was probably one of them, because I met Danny Barrett on the elevator when I played in Edmonton.
Oh, yeah.
I knew he was too, but it was, you know, one of those things where, you know, man, if you ever get the opportunity, you play for someone you love to play for and all those kind of things. And so a lot of guys started to come to Saskatchewan because of Roy and Danny Barrett. And so they started to build something that ended up being special, and started in 07. And as far as getting to the pinnacle and taking it. But we had fell short, you know, a year before in 2006. And just in those 2 years, in 06 and 07, you know, we got Kerry Joseph from Ottawa, along with some other guys, DJ Flick and Yo Murphy.
Yeah.
And so it was a different kind of feel. You know, it was my first time going through that kind of situation with a new team coming in, that way, as far as the expansion draft and all that. And I want to say we went, I can't remember the record, 15? No, it was maybe 12-6, maybe, I want to say.
That year? Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And ended up winning it, but it was just special because of what all the intangibles that Kerry brought to the table, of leadership and doing things the right way, and not just putting yourself first. And you know, everything he did was about, you know, uplifting his teammates and all those things. Not to say that I didn't or anyone else didn't, but he just had that and that that air about himself that that people responded to. So I was gladly willing to listen and follow and learn all those kind of things from him. And he carried us to the Western Final and played you guys and won and went on to the Grey Cup. And again, face Winnipeg
myself. Oh, yeah, for you, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was a different feeling this time, watching from the sidelines, and And, you know, we actually struggled that game offensively. And defense played very well, as they did throughout the season. But they played exceptionally well that game, came up with a few picks. And James Johnson ended up being the Grey Cup MVP that game. But just you know, the feeling of the build-up to the end, you know, when we got that touchdown by Andy Fantuz, you know, you can just feel it as far as, you know, that momentum. And you got that feeling of, man, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. You know how the feeling is. And then the clock hit zero. And again, just looking around, man, and seeing, you know, the confetti and watching everybody react to the situation, it was kind of unbelievable, right? You know, just sitting around, you're in awe and know that you've accomplished or been a part of something that as an athlete, as a sport, in any sport, those are the things you work for. And so when you see it actually happens, sometimes as you see or hear, people say it's you know, you can't even, you don't know the words to say at that time. And so, and it's true. It's just, we actually did it. And, you know, you put all that work in and then it pays off. So it was a great feeling, just a different perspective. Glad and blessed to have been a part of that as well.
Yeah, it's definitely a blessing to be able to win two Grey Cups and to, they'll have two championships under your belt. You took that one from us in 07, but I guess we took one from you in 06. So yeah, exactly. So balanced out. But yeah, it's a great feeling to be able to win and to have that, like you said, to share that moment with your teammates and to take in the atmosphere with the confetti and all the excitement that goes along with that. It's an incredible feeling that you never forget, for sure. Okay, so let's talk about transitioning to life after football. You finished off with the Rough Riders and moved on to, I believe you got into coaching directly after. So talk about your thought process in doing that and what kind of led you to get into coaching to move on to after football.
Well, from a player standpoint, I've always kind of thought about the game on a deeper level. You know, I've always been the type that wanted to, probably the thing about me as far as being in training camps is that I wanted to learn the entire offense and know where everybody was supposed to be and all those kind of things all at once.
Yeah.
It probably hindered me a little bit on the field, right?
And how so?
No, just because of, you know, you get to like learning the defense and because it actually ended up being the way that I coach, being a reactive instead of, and having options. And so I was always a thinker of, all right, I know it's 1-2-3, but what if the defense rotates this way and all those kind of things, right?
Yeah.
And so I was a thinker of the game that way. What if this happens? What if that happens? And just being able to react and know where to go with the football is pretty much what I'm saying when things don't go your way. So I was thinking of that, and so having the great coaches that I had throughout the years, I wasn't sure, a little apprehensive really, in the beginning of it, when I was asked to do it or to be a guest coach for the Riders, because of, you know, you're about the time and all those kind of things and just started the family and, just wasn't sure. But I took the opportunity, became a guest coach and then was asked to stay on part-time, but and that's part of it. Part-time, there was no part-time for me. I was there every day, just like
full-time.
Away games and all, and so just put in the work and just again just listen to the coaches and watch the players and from a different way was very fulfilling for me and just an understanding of the CFL game from a coaching standpoint was very, very, very satisfying for me because you see where the game plans come from and you see how it's developed and how it's compiled. and then to go out there and get the opportunity to. So it was 2 years as a, sorry, 1 year as the assistant quarterback coach with Jamie Borisi, and then another year as a running back coach. And then I early, so only two years in, and I got the opportunity to be the OC for Edmonton. And so 4 years straight, went to Edmonton and OC, made the playoffs both times, both 2 years there.
Yeah.
And then that's actually when I got into insurance business. And the year after that, I wasn't asked to come back. And I got my insurance license, and a year after that, I got back into coaching in Ottawa. So for their inaugural season back there with the Red Blacks.
Okay.
And, I was a quarterback coach there. So it was just a great learning experience. I love the game of football, sports as a whole, actually, because one of the other things that I do now is that I'm a rec director in my hometown, and so just putting together, trying to build a program for all the sports, trying to bring it back, and so it's very, I guess, fulfilling for me to be able to, you know, just the passion that I have for sports. To continue in some kind of way to be involved is important for me.
Oh yeah, definitely. When you're an athlete, you always have that love for sports and love for for competition, and yeah, being able to be involved with it in some capacity is always something, or some avenue that we always kind of look for. So for you, that's you're being able to do it with your rec center and be able to help kids and to feed into their lives and to also, you know, stay involved in sports in some capacity. So that's a great way to do it for sure. Okay, so talk about the your private training as well. You said you're doing some private training for quarterbacks. So talk about that as well.
Yeah. So again, and just another way to kind of stay in the game, and also teach or talk about with these kids to watch the sport that you play. You know, it was a former. An alumni. He was actually on the Peach Bowl team, the 92 Peach Bowl team. He's built his business of weight training, performance training for athletes and for any individual looking to get in shape. And he had some kids that he trained, some quarterbacks that were looking to do some quarterback things. And so he asked me if I'd be interested in doing it. And so I did it with him. So he has a gym, we work out there, we do basic skills. These are all junior high school kids so far.
Okay.
Five quarterbacks, and so what I teach them is just the basics of being a quarterback, and that's just the fundamentals. Right now we're in the early stages of it, so it's all different types of footwork and little things that I teach them as far as playing the position. And so okay. I ask them to watch football because some things that I talk about and refer to is based on, you know, some of the things that I've that athletes do now, quarterbacks do now, that I kind of used to kind of think about myself and actually I coach them to do. And
yeah.
So I asked them to watch, and so when I talk about a game or a player, they understand where I'm coming from and all those kind of things. And so, but it's, again, like I said, it's fulfilling. You know, yeah, I'm not able to play, of course. So we live vicariously through those kids.
Through them, yeah.
That we coach up, and so, I enjoy it.
Nice, nice. And what would you say is keys to be a great quarterback? So you obviously were a great quarterback, and you've played along with and watched others. What would you say is a key attributes for a great quarterback?
I'd say develop a passion. I think you definitely have to be passionate about the position because one of the things that that we kind of talk about is the focus level, what it takes to be able to focus and when you're not only just playing position, but off the field as well, or even just in the weight room when you're doing little things. Just being focused and attentive to what you're doing and make sure you're doing it the way that you're asked to do it is pertinent. Because the way the game is played now, players are getting bigger, faster, stronger every day. And so the little things that I teach is paramount to listen and understand what we're trying to do, so trying to get accomplished. And so, yeah, focus and really just at a young age, it's just easier to transform. One of the things I talk to them about is that I teach you one thing, but you may get somewhere else. Someone else is going to teach you another thing. So just being able to transition from one coach to the next is going to be huge now. All right.
Yeah.
And it's going to be huge later on in life when you say if you do make it to the NFL, and you may not stick with one team. You may get in the university now and get into your first 2 years and then transfer in the portal, how they have things nowadays, and go to another coach as well. And so, or you're at the same university and you have different coaches every year.
New staff. Like,
and that was my experience. And so that was my experience. Every year I had pretty much a different offensive coordinator. Had to adjust to different coaching and teaching and players and everything. And so I try to instill that in them as far as being able to adapt and overcome. But it starts with the basics. You learn the basics and you're able to do those things a lot easier.
A lot easier. Yeah, definitely. So quickly, what do you think of the quarterback position now? You see all the new players that have come into the league, like the Kyler Murrays and the and Jackson's, Lamar Jackson's. What do you think of this kind of transition to more athletic quarterbacks? Do you think it's overdue, or what do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's I wouldn't say overdue, because there's still a lot of great drop back quarterbacks that have learned the game. They learn the game and understand, you know, their offenses and things like that. I think what you're seeing now is that, as I mentioned, players are running, defensive players, I should say, and defensive players are running faster than receivers, or just as fast as receivers and running backs. And so you need some type of mobility or mobile quarterback in your system, whether it be for now or the future. That just depends on, you know, the coaching. And I think you just have to build around those types of players. I mean, you see it with Lamar Jackson, right? And they've done a tremendous job of building their team and their offensive style around what he does and what he does best. And so, because it's just the way the game is and how players have evolved as far as their capabilities and where if you weren't as mobile, you might not. He might have gotten away from a guy that that came down a line of scrimmage and reacted to you back in the day, but now it's that much harder to do because the guys are so much faster.
Yeah, I think it's kind of telling that now that NFL coaches are kind of
they're more receptive.
They're more receptive. And changing their plays towards the talent that they have instead of forcing their players to fit their system, kind of thing.
And hats off to the gentlemen that paved the way, right? You know, there's a lot of great quarterbacks, even when I was growing up and watching that, you know, that played in the CFL, Conridge, and a lot of players that that didn't make it because of, you know, they had the talent. But the system didn't fit their talents, and so but as just like everything evolves, and so this is where we are now. So hats off to everyone before us, the pioneers.
Yeah.
And great job by these guys of, you know, getting in the position and taking full advantage of it.
Yeah, they're definitely doing that. That's key to sports. Yeah, when you get an opportunity, you got to take advantage of it. And those guys are definitely doing that. And you also did that in your career. So, I just want to finish things off. I usually finish off with what I call a top of the mountain moment. So kind of looking back on your football journey and all the things you've gone through in your football career, the highs and lows, the stories, the great moments, the all the things I've gone through. Is there a favorite moment, favorite story, words of wisdom for younger players? How would you like to finish things off here?
For the younger players, I mean, it's about nowadays. I still think it's important to if you're capable and able to play multiple sports, to do so. It teaches you, each sport teaches you a lot of different things. Again, a lot of the basics are the same. You got to have agility, speed, and the physicalness of any sport is going to come into play at some point of time. Just be passionate about what you do, and really be disciplined in your workouts and anything that you want to do. And then, you know, as you get older, you start to narrow it down. And I think the thing that you love most will eventually, I think it'll rise to the top of your feelings and all those things that you want to do.
Yeah, for sure. So, Marcus, just want to say, thank you so much for your time. It's been a great interview, great chatting with you, and hearing your story and sharing your story. For those that want to follow you on social media, can you give your social media tags that they can find you at?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. my social media is just Marcus Crandall. Right now, anyway, at Marcus Crandall on Twitter. I am on Facebook, and it's just, again, it's just Marcus Crandall. You can find me on Facebook, and it's really, I'm really just on there to communicate with our parents about practice time and game times as we approach those kind of things. And so, you can also give me a call if you want to do an interview or anything like that, just like yourself, reached out and asked. You can do it on social media, or you can give me a call at 252-661-9384.
All right. I'll put all those in the show notes so people can find you and get in contact with you. So, Marcus, thank you so much, and it's been a pleasure.
All right. Thank you for having me, Lyle.
No problem. Take care.
Thank you for listening to After the Gridiron. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure you subscribe to the show and also leave a rating and review. By doing that, you also help to spread the word about the podcast and assist others in finding the show so more people can enjoy this great content. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, with the links to those being found on the website. Your support is very much appreciated. Also, please visit the resources page on the website for links to our sponsors and affiliates. Your support helps to keep the show running. So go to www.atgridiron.com/resources to check them out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you when we kick off our next episode.